Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Brilliance Security Podcast. Hello, my name is Steve Bocut, and I am an editor for Brilliance Security Magazine. Brilliance is an online digital publication dedicated to the security industry. Our mission, and thus our name, is to illuminate the intersection of physical and cybersecurity. We cover both of these security domains by publishing original content about threats, hacks, products, and security strategies. We hope you will enjoy this podcast and visit us at brilliancesecuritymagazine.com. Welcome to the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your listening. Today, our guest is Eric Kedrowski. Eric is the CISO of Sonry Security. Sonry Security delivers enterprise cloud security for the public cloud. Our topic today, I think, is going to be of interest to many people. It's certainly of interest to me. We're going to be talking about lessons learned from the most recent LastPass attack, or you could say attacks, I guess, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Before I introduce Eric, let me tell you a little bit about him. Over the last two decades, Eric has honed his knowledge of security program development, security strategy, security assessment, research and policy development, and leadership development. His passion for collaborating with customers and executives has made him a crucial member of the Sonry Security team. Few people have the combination of technical and communication skills that have pushed him to the forefront of cloud security assessment and development. Eric graduated from Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada, with a bachelor's degree in computer systems engineering. Welcome, Eric. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Steve, I'm happy to be here today.
All right. This is going to be a fun and interesting conversation. Yes. We didn't talk about this before, but I happen to be a LastPass user. In fact, I'm still a LastPass user. I'm still a loyal LastPass user. You may change my mind on that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure what your position is. But as of this minute, I'm still a loyal LastPass user. There were some security precautions that we all had to take that used LastPass, but maybe we'll talk about those a little bit. But before we get into the topic for today, I wanted you to tell the audience a little bit about Sonry Security. Help us understand who you are, what you do, that kind of thing.
Sure, Steve. So Sonry Security has been around since late 2017. Our co-founders, Brendan Hannigan and Sandy Bird, were the previous CEO and co-founder of Q1 Labs' QRadar product, which was the SIEM that sort of revolutionized SIEMs. They got bought by IBM, grew that to a multi-billion dollar business, and after a few years of that, decided to take on another challenge. And you know, as the story goes, when they were looking into, you know, what's next in security, the cloud was just, you know, just kicking off at that point, even though it was 2017, it was still fairly nascent. And as they got looking into it, they realized that, you know, a lot of the paradigms have shifted in information security when it comes to the cloud. And at the same time, that was around, I think, the time the article came out in The Economist, where it said the data had surpassed oil as the most expensive commodity in the world. And Does everybody put their data? Everybody was putting their data wholesale to the cloud, and it was still new and this thing. And they realized that, wow, there's a real big challenge to be had here. And so that's what they went. They went into this. And so, you know, at the heart of our philosophy is we believe that identity and data security needs to be at the core of your cloud security strategy. And we're going to talk about this today. The data in context is the LastPass stuff. And we really want to hit on the identity piece in the cloud, because that's really where, you know, as I see it, working with customers from, you know, the largest airline in North America to some of the biggest banks in North America to customers in between, this is one of the areas where customers are still sort of coming up the learning curve, but where a lot of problems can occur because of blind spots. And so that's kind of the ethos of who we are.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So let's get into the topic a little bit. So just get kind of a level set for everyone. Describe the LastPass incident and in some detail, if you will, and how it was discovered, I think would be interesting.
Yeah. So like there's really a couple pieces to this incident. It's a bit of an ongoing saga. Exactly. And for today's sort of talk. I want to talk about sort of, I guess, what we'll call maybe round two or phase two or whatever it is. But the more recent one, but, you know, recently, you know, after the sort of the follow, the first sort of breach where, you know, some of the vault data was believed to be touched and used and whatever. What they found was there was an ongoing sort of activity where, based on the information gathered in the first breach, there was reconnaissance and enumeration and exfiltration of more data, which is sort of the classical pattern. Okay, I'm in, I'm going to go look around, I'm going to go through everything and find the good stuff, and then I'm going to take the good stuff. And, you know, what we've come to learn is that a threat actor, an unknown threat actor, was able to gain access to a LastPass employee's, and this was a high, like a DevOps, a senior DevOps person, was able to gain access to a computer. It says a home computer, but we're not going to worry about that stuff because I don't want to get into those details, but was able to get access to that computer. But the key thing is they were then able to get access to the identity on that computer that gave them access to a very, very sensitive LastPass vault. And once they had access to that, they were able to then enumerate through that vault. And what they found in that vault was identities in the form of access keys to their AWS environment. And specifically, as noted, they found decryption keys or the ability to decrypt the data, some really sensitive data in S3 buckets. And from there, it sounds like, and you know, the details are scant in some cases, and understandably so. I mean, I've been through these things before. They were able to get more identities that were able to give them access to more sensitive data. So, you know, sort of classic traditional breach, you know, something got on a machine through some malware, was able to get basically an identity or a password to get access to a vault. And then from a cloud perspective, once they got access to those identities that were very highly privileged in LastPass's cloud, then they were able to really hit the treasure trove of data. And, you know, we're able to decrypt the buckets. They were able to get, you know, encrypted backups and decrypt those and really make off with a lot of really, really sensitive information. And so that kind of leads us to where we are today, was they used identities in the cloud that were, you know, very highly privileged to steal some what sounds like pretty sensitive data.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the message that came to LastPass users, me being one of them, and through kind of mainstream media was that they didn't talk about much about their ability to decrypt. So the message was, look, you're still okay because they have your data, but they can't really decrypt it. And from what you've said, and maybe that's not what you intended to say, but is it your understanding that they were actually able to retrieve, exfiltrate, and decrypt user, you know, like my passwords and usernames, or is it just kind of under the hood stuff?
That's not stated, and I'm not going to assume that or go there. But what we do know and what has been published, and I'm talking about official stuff, not heard on the back channels and in the forums or whatever, is that they were able to like decrypt the buckets, the S3, the AWS S3 buckets that were there. They were able to get access to production backups and other cloud resources using the credentials that were found and then further found in the thing. But whether they were able to actually get and decrypt user stuff, that I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate, and I'm going to trust LastPass on that one to say when they say they couldn't get access to it, because I know their architecture as well. Then we'll go with them on that one, and really, you know, I'm gonna side with them, because like that's what we do in the community, we stick together. So
there we go. Very good. Okay. All right, so let's kind of uncover maybe the root causes of the incident and what could have been done to prevent it. How could they have protected those identities better?
Yeah, I mean, this is where it comes back to, and I want to focus on the cloud piece. You know, that's where our focus is. That's where my focus is these days. That's what I, you know, work with a lot of our customers and prospects on, is identities in the cloud. You know, on-prem, we had this notion of the what we call the person identity, the user identity, the Eric, the Steve, the Bob, the Jane, the whoever. In the cloud, we have this notion of the non-human identities. So those are like your access keys and your roles and your service principles and all these other things that are really the identities that make the cloud work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a research paper I did in this past year, we found that, you know, the number of non-human identities or non-people identities outnumber the number of people identities by magnitudes, you know, grossly outnumber them by magnitudes. But a lot of organizations are still sort of in that old paradigm of looking at their traditional identities, their users, and not these non-people identities. And further to that, we found that, you know, again, in our research, that of all those identities, 10% of them on average had the ability not only to like, you know, get to sensitive resources or manipulate data, delete, change, whatever, but they had actually enough permission to delete whole clouds and delete whole accounts.
Oh my.
And so when you're talking on average, you can have thousands of these things in any given cloud, you know, 10% is a very large number. All it takes is one of those non-person identities that's overprivileged, that's not being watched to cause some of the problems that we talk about here today. And that's where it really comes back to is, you know, I put it in the form of four questions. You know, you really need to be identifying or inventorying your identities. And I'll say continuously, because, you know, doing it once every 6 months in the cloud doesn't make sense, right? The cloud's changing minute by minute. The second thing you need to understand is, what are the end-to-end permissions of those identities? Can the user Eric assume a role in AWS to assume another role to get access to an S3 bucket to decrypt it, to get some more identities, to do some more things? You know, you really need to know what it can do end-to-end. And then from there, you need to ask yourself and understand what data and resources can that access? So that's the risk. Mm-hmm. And what actions are they taking with that access? And that's the incident. And so that's where it all sort of comes together in the cloud here. It's and you need to baseline that. You need to understand, is it over permissioned? If it is, lower the permissions. Should it have access to this data? Yes or no? In this case, should it have access? Should this access key or whatever it was have been able to do the actions that it did from where it did it from? If Steve right. normally works from his desk here, and does these actions, okay, that's maybe allowed, that's normal. But what happens if Eric gets on Steve's computer, steals the access key and does it from over here? Should that be allowed? Should that be normal? So you have to be, you know, calculating these things and then baselining, especially around your sensitive data and your sensitive identities, to really understand what's out of the norm. And so that's how it kind of relates to the LastPass breach, at least in the cloud piece of it, right?
Yeah, interesting. Let's kind of zoom out a little bit, take maybe a broader view of this. It would be interesting, I think, to hear your perspective on what maybe the long-term consequences of not just the LastPass incident, but these types of incidents that seem to be happening more and more frequently. What the long-term yeah. consequences can be to the industry. And
Well, I think that the challenges and something I talk about a lot, and it's going to sound a bit buzzwordy, and I'm not really a big fan of buzzwords, but like the speed and the scale at which the cloud moves. I mean, the average cloud is growing so quickly in terms of the number of, you know, the amount of data that is there, the identities, all these things. You know, the long-term consequences, if organizations can't start to wrap their head around identities really needing to be at the core of their cloud security strategy, and they can't do those four things that I talked about and doing them continuously, not every 6 months or every 3 months, but literally continuously these mappings and these analysis.
And how difficult is that, Erica? How difficult is it to monitor all of these identities all the time and evaluating their privileges and whether they're in line with security principles and practices? Is it a difficult thing to do?
It can be challenging. It can be very challenging. You know, the inventories are done natively by the cloud. Everything's inventory natively right. in the cloud because they charge you for everything.
No,
you
yeah, got exactly. they
it's
know,
really
right?
in the, it's in the latter part is calculating those end-to-end, or we like to call them the effective permissions, is very challenging. I mean, I know one organization, very mature organization, very mature security team, very well-funded security team, tried to do this by mapping it out literally in a boardroom by using Excel spreadsheets. And it took them months to map the identities that they had done that they started, you know, 90 days ago. And I was like, wow, that's really awesome. But how do you know that 5 minutes after you started
yeah,
that,
it's outdated identities, now.
You know, it's already outdated, right? So that's hard. And then the other piece is identifying where your sensitive data is and keeping the eyes on that and then watching the action. So it's not an easy thing to do. And it kind of goes along with the cloud. The cloud is complex. It's very powerful. Therefore, the solutions to secure the cloud are going to need to be as equally complex and powerful to do that.
Right. Okay. And I may have interrupted you there. Did you have any more you want to talk about, kind of lessons learned or the consequences of these types of attacks?
I think the lesson learned that I see a lot of is talking to a lot of our customers. Like I do a lot of CISO and CISO consulting and cloud security strategy consulting with our customers and workshops, is that, you know, It's worse not to know that you have a risk. I mean, it's bad to not know you have a risk. What's worse is when you think you've got your risk covered and you think you have the visibility and you report upwards, oh yeah, we're fine. We're tracking all of our users in this solution we used on-prem. Right. But like I said, I've asked customers or prospects, it's like, well, what about the 10,000 non-people identities in your cloud? How are you tracking those? And they're like, that's a great question. I didn't know we had those. Yeah, and so what I think is worse from a security perspective is you could be presenting this picture of risk to your executive, to your board, to your regulators, to whomever, when the true answer is that you don't have the full picture. And a lot of people that we read about don't realize they don't have the full picture until they find themselves, you know, a bunch of podcasters talking about them, basically, right?
Exactly, so, right. Yeah.
And that's not where anybody wants to be. And I definitely don't want to see anybody there because it's not a good state to be in.
Exactly. All right. So now let's look kind of down the road a little bit. So from your perspective, how do you see the security landscape evolving over the next few years? You know, the challenges and opportunities you anticipate? And I guess we have to do that from a kind of a pretext that people make wise choices. What would you like to see happen over the next few years?
Well, I really think there's a couple of areas that I see, and you know, some of them are technical, and then some of them are organizational and process oriented. So, mm-hmm. you know, coming at it from an organizational perspective, one of the things that you know over my time here at Sunry, doing this in my, you know, I think 6 or 7 years now doing cloud security is, the organizations that I see doing this successfully, especially if they're making migrations like most organizations are, they're not trying to blend their traditional on-prem security team and their cloud security team. They're making a conscious effort to almost dichotomize to have two different teams. Mm-hmm. And I know some people get all prickly about that. It's like, oh, you know, what about me? Or I might get lost in the shuffle or whatever. And I don't mean that to create that world, but what I've seen is these companies will create these cloud centers of excellence. And this is where it gets important. They'll appropriately train those people before they start moving to the cloud. They'll provide the training, they'll provide the knowledge, they'll get some cloud experts on those centers of excellences. And then they'll start to build up their operational and security, you know, policies and practices and procedures and what have you around that. And then they'll build up that organization. And what it allows is it allows people that come from that old world, you know, the early adopters will come over because they'll want to be part of it. And it allows people to migrate because you've created that opportunity to learn and to grow and to do that. So I think organizationally, I think that's key. And I think that the more organizations that follow that pattern and invest in that pattern mm-hmm. will find that they have, you know, better security, but not just better security for security's sakes. I also see them as better run organizations. And in the long term, they're actually, from a financial perspective, they're actually not as expensive organizations to run because they're not making as many mistakes. They're not investing in 5,000 tools. They're not doing all this stuff ad hoc. They're actually doing it in a very prescribed way. So organizationally, I find that. I think the other thing organizations need to look at, and this is more from a CISO or a senior security leader or an executive perspective, is thinking about risk in context. What I'm seeing a lot of these days is, you know, organizations are taking things that worked for them on-prem piecemeal and trying to replicate those in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And sure, some of it comes across, but like I said, it may not cover the whole spectrum of the risk. And so they might be looking at vulnerability management. Oh, we're going to do that because we've already got a dashboard. We'll just get a tool and we'll do that. And that's great, vulnerability management. Well, that's great. But what about your identities? What about your data? What about your configurations of your platform? And because of the scale of the cloud, you know, you could have 1,000 vulnerabilities and 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, and say, of all these thousand things that are lit up on my dashboard, those are the two that I need to focus on. Because I looked at, it's a machine with a vulnerability attached to the internet with an identity that has access to sensitive data. That is the, basically, I just described you what happened at a very large bank that got breached a couple of years ago. In context, that one thing would have been the most important thing for them to focus on. And I think, or you know, operationally, that's what teams need to do. So we've taken sort of strategically, we've looked at sort of operationally. And then when you get down to the tooling, again, you need the proper tools that, like you said, can do your inventorying continuously, can compute these effective permissions, you know, can look at the data, can do all these things to provide that risk and context picture. And I think if you put the right technology with the right operational procedures and have the right strategy on how to build a cloud and a cloud security team, in my experience, the organizations that I work with that are doing it well, those are all the pieces that they're doing. And so that's what I think that's what I, you know, try to help just not just customers, but anybody in the industry that wants to talk or listen. That's sort of what I help them with.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. So we're about out of time. We like to end with a final question. That's always the same. The essence of this question is, what did I fail to ask that I should have asked? But it's an opportunity for you, Eric, to tell us anything else that may have come to your mind as we were talking here today. But what else does our audience need to know about protecting their critical cloud assets and identities, or Sonry security, or the LastPass incident?
Again, I think you've hit the nail on the head with all the questions. I mean, you've asked all the right questions here. I think to recap, put your identities and your data at the core of your cloud security strategy. The organizations that do that, in my experience, have the strongest security problems or security programs without problems. I think it comes down to is you really need to understand how the paradigms have shifted when it comes to identity, when it comes to data, when it comes to the cloud, and make sure that the solutions you're putting in place are seeing all your risk, not just what it was in the data center. And then lastly, I think organizations really need to put more focus on the education and training of their employees into the cloud, into cloud security. I make the joke, and it's because I've done it myself, right? And that's why I can joke about it. You can't just take your senior systems engineer from your data center and give them a new title, call them, you know, super duper cloud expert, and that makes them a super duper cloud expert. It took that person 5, 10, 15, 20 years to acquire that knowledge. Yeah. You can't just saddle them with that and expect them to be the same in your cloud. The cloud really has changed the way that things work. And again, the organizations that invest in those types of things, cloud centers of excellence, training programs, that are really, really going to be the customers or the organizations that are not going to find themselves in the headlines because they're doing it right. And maybe a little slower up front, it might cost a little bit more up front, but in the long run, every single customer that I've worked with or organization that I've worked with that's done it that way, today I can stand back and say, wait, wow, that's a use case that I can talk about, that I like to talk about, you know?
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. This has been fascinating. I've really enjoyed this, and I'm sure our audience will find it interesting as well. So thank you for your time today, Eric. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
And a big thanks to our listeners for being with us today. And please remember to like and subscribe if you find this podcast interesting. And join us next time for another episode of the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast.